And we are in our study again today in the book of Galatians. And as you know, as we read and we study this book, this epistle by the Apostle Paul, Paul never gives a commendation to the Galatians. It's pretty much, you know, matter of fact, straight at it, right between the eyes. And he doesn't mince words. He just tells them like it is. And the Galatians needed to hear that. They needed to know that. And so today I want us to look here. We're in chapter 4 of Galatians, specifically verses 8 through 20. And I'm going to, here as we open this text up today, we're going to see that Paul is concerned that, you know, the Galatians may have misunderstood what salvation in Jesus only means. See, the Galatians weren't assured of salvation. May I ask you today, are you assured of your salvation? Assurance of salvation means a life not of works, but a spiritual maturity that seeks to fulfill God's purpose. So your spiritual maturity seeks to fulfill God's purpose. I'm going to read here the text this morning, and then I'm going to kind of comb through the verses here bit by bit, a little bit. Galatians 4, chapter 8 through 20. We're just going to get right into it this morning. Formerly, when you did not know God, you were enslaved to those by nature are not gods. But now that you have come to know God, or rather to be known by God, how can you turn back again to the weak and worthless elementary principles of the world, whose slaves you want to be once more? You observe days and months and seasons and years. I'm afraid I may have labored over you in vain. Ouch. That's my commentary right there from verse 11. Verse 12, brothers, I entreat you, become as I am, for I also have become as you are. You did me no wrong. You know it was because of a bodily ailment that I preached the gospel to you at first. And though my condition was a trial to you, you did not scorn or despise me, but received me as an angel of God, as Christ Jesus. What then has become of your blessedness? For I testify to you that if possible, you would have gouged out your eyes and given them to me. Have I then become your enemy by telling you the truth? They make much of you, but for no good purpose. They want to shut you out, that you may make much of them. It is always good to be made much of for a good purpose, and not only when I am present with you, my little children, for whom I am again in the anguish of childbirth, until Christ is formed in you. I wish I could be present with you now and change my tone, for I am perplexed about you. Paul says, the Apostle Paul says a lot of things to the churches, but I have never read anything where he says, I am perplexed about you. Paul is at his wits' end with the Galatians. As you have already studied here in the book of Galatians, you understand what the issue is going on, right? They were experiencing and they were practicing legalism. There were those that were infiltrating them, infiltrating the Galatians, the Jews, the Judaizers, the circumcision group that were telling them that they had to become a Jew first before they could be a Christian. They were telling them to practice the laws of Moses. But they were also practicing other things. They were also practicing things of the past. You know, when people come to faith in Christ, doesn't mean that they were never had any kind of semblance or had ever attended church before, right? You know, many people come from different backgrounds, and for instance, but they didn't have faith in Christ. What I mean is, you know, they may have gone to church for years, but they never had a personal relationship with Christ. And maybe in that background that they grew up in, that they became accustomed to certain customs, certain legalism, things that they just kind of done. And so what happens when oftentimes people come to faith in Christ, we understand that it is grace, 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 that is faith alone in Christ that saves you, right? Amen? It is not those other things that save you, those legalistic practices. But sometimes, as a person comes to faith in Christ, they have that background. They have, you know, so how is a person to deal with that? Well, one thing they have to understand is that they have to get on the same page. They have to leave that behind. Paul is telling the Galatians here, get on the same page. Look at verse 8 with me. He says, formerly when you did not know God, you were enslaved, right? They were worshiping the pagan gods who were, in effect, no gods at all. And he says, you were enslaved to them. He says, but in verse 9, he says, but now you've come to know God. But now you have a relationship now with God for the very first time. And because of that, God has come to know you. And look at in verse 9 here. Look, the scathing question. He says, how can you turn back? When he says turn back, what's he saying here to them? How can you turn back? How can you go back to these principles, these elementary principles, these traditions, this legalism? Folks, what he's saying is that when you turn your back, they're turning their back to whom?
Christ.
To Christ, exactly. And he's saying, how can you do that? And he implores them. He's like, to the point where he's like, whose slaves do you want to be once more? Do you want to go back and be a slave to that instead of the freedom? So each of us have to understand that there are three characteristics I want us to see today that we have assurance of salvation if we put our trust and our faith in Christ alone. The first thing I want us to see is that assurance of salvation does not seek works. Assurance of salvation does not seek works. Why? Because if works could save you, where would Jesus be? He would be completely gone in the picture. And so Paul wants the Galatians here to understand something very important. He wants them to get on the same page and to put behind all those things of the past and all those outside influences. You know, sometimes we need to get on the same page. There was a woman who was in between flights at an airport, and she went to a newsstand and she got a little bag of cookies and a newspaper, and she sat down in the shop, and she got her newspaper, and she was reading it, and she had the bag of cookies, and she was sitting down, and she heard this rustling sound. And she peered over her newspaper, and she saw this gentleman nicely dressed, and he was getting into her cookies. And she thought, whoa, how rude, how insensitive. So she was so embarrassed and so taken aback, she didn't say anything. So she went back to her newspaper until she heard another sound again. And then she looked down again and she saw there was barely any cookies left. And she was still so embarrassed, so till finally she heard another rustling sound again. And finally the gentleman had taken one of the cookies, broken it in half, and gave it to her. He looked at her, he frowned, and he turned away. And she said, I don't understand this. He ate my cookies. He looked badly at me. What's the problem? What did I do but get cookies stolen from me? So, well, she heard an announcement, and it was her flight, so she was getting ready to board her flight, so she turned into her pocketbook, her purse, to get her ticket, and when she went in, she noticed the bag of cookies that she had bought.
Uh-oh.
You see, she wasn't on the same page, and somewhere else in that airport with somebody else wasn't on the same page with her. The Galatians needed to get on the same page. And sometimes in our own lives, when we come under the influence of others or outside forces or previous past or things of our lives, we need to get on the same page of the gospel and be understood that our assurance of salvation does not seek works. Paul says here, the Apostle Paul to them, to the Galatians, verse 10, he says, you observe days and months and seasons and years, the Jewish festivals, the Sabbaths, all the traditions that they were telling them. Paul continued to call these people. He didn't call them out specifically by a specific name. He often just referred to them as they. They, these somebodies. They were somebody, but to Paul, they were a bunch of nobodies. And so they kept telling these Galatians to get into these, to entrap them and to observe all these things, this legalism. And Paul says, I'm afraid I may have labored over you in vain. What's Paul telling these Galatians here? I'm not so sure that you've got it. Maybe some of these Galatians never got it. And so it is never in works that saves us. In fact, Paul often fought this in the first century church and even also to the Colossians. Colossae was a church here also west of this area of Galatia. And in the church of Colossians, Paul had to even tell the Colossians that were being under the influence of others as well. Look with me in Colossians 2:16. He said, "Therefore, let no one pass judgment on you in questions of food and drink or regard to a festival or a new moon or Sabbath." Apparently, this was not just something that was common in the church of Galatia. It was common that was happening in many churches. And in fact, it happens in churches today. There was a young couple missionaries that were coming off the foreign mission field. This particular young couple loved peanut butter. I love peanut butter. But where they couldn't get peanut butter. So they often asked people from their home church, "Would you send us peanut butter?" And they did. But some of the other missionaries that were working beside them were chiding them. They were saying, if you're a missionary in a foreign land, you should live exactly how the people here live. How dare you eat peanut butter? These people can't eat peanut butter. They don't even know what peanut butter is. How can you do this? How can you live separate from them? And they got this over and over and over to the point where the legalism got so out of hand, they were so discouraged they had to leave. And they came back home. Folks, oftentimes the legalism doesn't just exist in the church of Galatia or even in the church of Colossae. The legalism today even exists sometimes in the church that we're in. And we have to be on guard of that and understand that it is not by works that we are saved, right? Look also with me in Ephesians, and many of you know this particular text, Ephesians 2, verse 8 and 9. The Apostle Paul tells the church in Ephesus, he says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing, it is the gift of God, not a result of what? Works, so that no one may boast." These Judaizers, these bunch of nobodies, wanted the Galatians to boast in them. And so what was happening is that the Galatians were not on the same page. And you know, I think that whether it's peanut butter or whether it's festivals or new moons or Sabbaths or festivals or anything like that, we have to understand that sometimes some people, the free gift of grace is just not enough. They have to add one more thing. People will tell you that you have to add just one more thing in your life for your salvation. There was a food manufacturing company that manufactured cake mix. And they got this special formula that was so good and so powerful that they had test marketed it and everyone loved this cake mix. It was so good. In fact, all you had to do was add water. And it test marketed so great. They were so excited. They spent a pile of money and advertising and promotion and putting this cake mix. They put it on the market and it says all you need to do is add water. And what happened? Nobody bought it. The best cake mix ever invented, and nobody wanted it because all you had to do was add water. It was so good. Well, they were dumbfounded. Back to the laboratory they went. They changed the formula, test marketed again, and it went very well. And they put it back on the shelf and says, all you have to do is add water and one egg. And it sold like hotcakes. Or I should say it sold like cake mix. I don't know why we get what's so good about hotcakes, but apparently they sell pretty good. But anyway, All you have to do is add one more thing.
It must be Jiffy Mix.
I don't know what it is, if it's Jiffy Mix or whatever. But my point is that there will always be those that want to add one more thing for your salvation. It is not by works. You can't add one more thing to your salvation. The second thing I want us to see this morning is that assurance of salvation is often evident in a person's life. Think back to yourself when you got saved and how joyous you were and just excited about life. Look what happened to the Galatians here. Look with me here in verse 12. Paul says, brothers, I entreat you, become as I am. Let me stop right there. Previously here, Paul, the apostle, Paul, the apologist, Paul, the theologian. Now he's Paul, the pastor. He says, I entreat you. He's pleading with them. He loves the Galatians. And he says, I entreat you, become as I am. In other words, be free as I am in Christ. You did me no wrong, for you know it's because of a bodily ailment that I preached the gospel to you at first. Now, we don't know what Paul's bodily ailment was. He later speaks about his eyes. I think it was an eye problem, but we don't know. That's not what's important to know. In the ancient world, if you had infirmities, oftentimes if you had illnesses, people in the ancient world would think that was God who was passing judgment on you. And oftentimes if you had illnesses, people weren't just always just so quick to help you. But here the Galatians have an evidence of their salvation at first, and he says, you know it's because of a bodily ailment, verse 13, that I preached the gospel to you at first, and though my condition was a trial to you, it was something for them that they weren't accustomed to, and it says here, you did not scorn or despise me. You didn't look at me and go, ugh, I ain't, hell, that's a mess you got, Paul. I ain't helping you. No, they didn't scorn or despise him. They loved him. They attended to him. They ministered him. And the text says, but they received him as an angel of God. They received him and his message as a messenger of God, as Christ Jesus. They loved him despite his ailment. And here Paul's entreating them. They had begun to show evidence of their salvation as their love for him that was very uncommon here in the first century. Paul loved them and they were showing love for him. But what happened? The Galatians were loving Paul. Look also with me here in 1 John. The Apostle John speaks about love and our faith and the outward display of our faith also oftentimes here. I want to read something here in 1 John chapter 2, verse 29. If you know that he is righteous, you may be sure that everyone who practices righteousness has been born of him. Evidence of your faith. 1 John 3:9. No one born of God makes a practice of sinning, for God's seed abides in him, and he cannot keep on sinning because he has been born of God. So the Galatians are, and all of us have to understand that our assurance of salvation is often evident in a person's life. You pray for people. You send them cards. You love them. You pick up the phone. You talk to them. You witness to them. You show acts of kindness and love. You go to the hospital and you make hospital visits to people sometimes you don't even know. And you show this love. And here we have to understand that assurance of our salvation is evident because why I'm saying this, I have been told by people sometimes that they weren't assured of their salvation. Now, I'm not just talking about new Christians. I've done prison ministry before where men have come to me and they have done things that they wouldn't have even thought of doing. That now that they're a believer, they seem just, their past is unbelievable. And for them to think that Christ could save them at times is almost unbelievable for them. I'm speaking also about people who have been long-time believers. I've had senior adults tell me of their own personal lives where they weren't sure if they were truly saved. I'm not talking about somebody who was living a life that didn't show evidence of their salvation. They did. Yet they still had doubts. There is going to come a time in your life at some point, probably, where we can question the assurance of our salvation. Because we get off the page sometimes, and there are other outside influences around us or our past or those that would tell us that you need to add one more thing. And so this is critical. What's happening here for the church in Galatia is happening today. Maybe not exactly right here in your lives or where your surroundings, but it happens today. There are people that get confused and they get lost and they begin to question their salvation and try to fill it with things sometimes. Folks, we don't need to fill what Jesus has done on the cross with one more thing. He has paid for our debt, and the Bible says that if we have put our faith in Him, we can know. The third thing I want us to see this morning is that assurance of salvation is a spiritual maturity. It doesn't mean that if you've been walking with the Lord that you are not necessarily spiritually mature. You can be young and spiritually mature. You can be older and be spiritually mature. Spiritual maturity here is the assurance of your salvation. And so here, he wants to look with me now in verse 17. Excuse me. Paul says, they make much of you. Here we go again. They. Who are they? They were the somebodies who to Paul were just a bunch of nobodies. And he just says they. They make much of you for no good purpose. Their interest, their desire was for these Galatians, these Judaizers, were for them to have an interest and a zeal for them, but not for Jesus. They were trying to take the credit for this too and to draw them away from their faith and salvation. And in verse 18, it says, it is always good to be made much of for a good purpose, and not only when I am present with you, my little children. Paul has regard for the Galatians as their pastor, his pastoral relationship with them as his little children. These Judaizers were trying to convince the Galatians to have a zeal for them. And Paul is frustrated to his wit's end with this church. Believers are not misled. Believers that are not misled know that who lives with them. And again, I want us to see what, again, in the Apostle John's writing and 1 John chapter 4, there is someone in this world that always wants to tell you, you're not saved. There is always going to be someone in this world that wants to tell you that what Jesus did is not enough. 1 John chapter 4, verse 4. Little children, you are from God and have overcome them, for he who is in you is greater than who is in the world. And we need to be reminded of that. These outside influences that come upon us that challenge and try to take away our assurance of our salvation. But the Bible says that you can know that if you have put your faith in Christ, you can be absolutely 100% guaranteed, satisfaction guaranteed, that you are saved and your eternity is set in Christ. If you go over one more chapter in 1 John chapter 5, verse 13, the text says, I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may, what? Know that you have eternal life. You may know. Getting on the same page is that you may know that if you put your faith in Christ, that you have assurance of salvation. No matter how someone wants to tell you how to live your life, peanut butter, no peanut butter, cake mix, add an extra egg, no extra egg, that you may know that you have assurance of your salvation. Each and every one of us can understand that, that for all of us, we can be challenged at times. The Galatians were challenged by these outside influences, these bunch of nobodies. They were also challenged by the elementary things of the past, also what had happened to the church in Colossae and Colossians. Paul had told them, Paul had spoken to the church in Colossians, and I keep continuing to bring that up because it was a close region also, and they were experiencing some of the things that are going away in their faith in Christ and getting distracted. And Paul had told the Colossians also, he said in verse 12, having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through faith in the powerful working of God who raised him from the dead, and you who were dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made alive together with him, having forgiven us all our trespasses by canceling the record of debt that stood against us with its legal demands. This he set aside, nailing it to the cross. Everything that we experience today, we understand that the Galatians experienced. You know, when we read the Bible, we must always understand that there are two groups. There's the biblical audience. There's the contemporary audience. That's you. You're reading the Bible. You're the contemporary audience. So God was speaking to the biblical audience here, to the church in Galatia. He's speaking to you. And he wants you to understand that you can be absolutely assured of your salvation. Why? God has a plan for all of us for our salvation. Look with me in Philippians 1:6. I love this passage, this particular verse in Philippians 1:6. And I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. So our spiritual maturity, our assurance of salvation has a purpose. God is going to bring it to completion for all of us. And he wants us to understand that. And that he is continuing to make a good work in us and what God is doing in us. Not acts, not simple works to try to add to our salvation. It is God that is working through you for his purposes here. And this is what Paul had wanted the church to understand in Galatia. Several years ago, one of the astronauts who walked on the moon was interviewed and asked, "What did you think about as you stood on the moon and looked back at the Earth?" The astronaut replied, "I remember how the spacecraft was built by the lowest bidder." Folks, we as Christians can rejoice in the work of salvation. Did not go to the lowest bidder. Amen? But was performed by an infinite God, because there will never be deficiency in his work. Our salvation is as sure as the architect of that salvation, Almighty God, Jesus Christ. We must abide in the fact that God, our Father, loves us deeply and praise him because he is continually maturing you towards that spiritual adulthood. And in fact, Paul, in his letter to the Galatians, he calls them little children. He's referring to them as like, you're not spiritually mature yet, little children. Even to the point where it says that he was becoming to his wit's end. The text there in the last verses there of 19 and 20, Paul said, "My little children, for whom I am again in the anguish of childbirth." Apparently, this wasn't a one-time thing for Paul. It's almost as Paul's going back to the drawing board. He's going back to where he started with them. And although he's not there in person, he says, I am perplexed about you. He is at his wit's end. Folks, don't be at your wit's end. Be assured of your salvation and what God alone has done for all of us. We don't have to add anything. We just need to get on the same page of the gospel and understand that we are sure of our salvation and what Jesus has done on the cross and our faith. We can't add anything to it. We can't let anyone else try to add to that as well. And when we do that, we understand that our position, our place, our relationship with Christ and what He has done brings us into a fullness with Him and the work that He has. Paul also told the Galatians that in Him is the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, meaning Jesus Christ. And that is who our faith is. That is the assurance of our salvation. That is the purpose of our salvation. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for the gift of salvation. We thank You for Jesus Christ. Father, I thank You that we can know that we are saved. We can know the assurance of our salvation, of what Jesus has done on the cross, through our repentance, through our faith in Him alone, that we don't need to add anything to it. We don't have to practice anything. We don't have to do what others would tell to add on to what Jesus has done on the cross. Because of that, Lord, we don't turn our backs on You. We put our faith in You, Lord. Thank You for this message from Your text. Thank You, Father, for the assurance that we could have in a world that doesn't have many assurances. There is one thing that we can have, is the assurance of Your love for us and our salvation in Christ. And it is in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Thank you.